last breath, the four-wind blow.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
One last breath, the four-wind blows. Raise your ears. The sound of hooves knock at your door. Lock up your wife and children now. It's time to wield the blade. The horsemen are drawing nearer. Let those steeds they ride. And they come to take your life. Onto the dead of night. You see the four horsemen ride. So choose your fate and die. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You've been dying since the day you were born. You know it's all been planned. A sinner once, a sinner twice. You need no confessions now.
You've been dying since the day you were born. You know it's all been planned. Forces of the living Christ. A sinner once, a sinner twice. You need no confessions now. Cause now you've got the mind of your life.
Horsemen!
Horsemen are drawing nearer.
They're those thieves they ride. They come to take your life. Dave Mustaine, like 12 years ago, at my house said, I want you to write my next album and write the new Four Horsemen. I didn't take him serious, and his whole next album, Endgame, was based on the film. Oh, yeah, yeah. Fun factoid. All right, let's go to your phone calls. Aaron and then Grant, and then I'm going to hit a quick story and go to Jay Dyer, who's loaded for bear. But keep the fight at Minas Tirith going here while the caller talks. Aaron, in Arizona, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks so much, Mr. Jones. I appreciate the opportunity. Hopefully I can get through this without getting too emotional. I've been so blessed. The scales are being removed from my eyes more fully. I've got a sense of discernment that the Lord has blessed me with, and all praise and glory to him, our Lord Jesus Christ. So what I've noticed is, and it was pretty evident when we watched Somaliopolis burn on May 25th, 2020, that we were completely alone, we the people. The federal government is a backstop and the states are sovereign, but when they don't stand in the gap, we're duty-bound to do so. And I recognize that Operation Chaos was in full effect and that our culture war, which has been going on for not years or decades but generations, would morph into what I thought at that time was a full civil war if we allowed it to continue, if we allowed the leftists, really it's the establishment class, to delegitimize all of our institutions, divide our families, erase our culture, limit speech. I'm still not back on Twix because I have too many research posts. That would curtail our thoughts. It was 1984, Brave New World, and Animal Farm all merged together. But now I think it's really just Alice in Wonderland. Everything is upside down. And unfortunately, I think C.S. Lewis knew where we were going to be in 2024, that we the people have failed our fellow citizens. We are men without chests. I can't get anybody to wake up here in Arizona. We are the epicenter of election fraud. And
that's because they're still asleep. They're in a coma. Don't be mad at them. We don't need the majority.
No, I totally agree with you, sir. But we know what the Revolutionary War was, and I think we're actually in an inverse Revolutionary War now. It's the
we have the elites at war with the people. Exactly.
Absolutely, sir. Yes, sir. So thank you for helping my journey. And I'm just continuing to reach out to people. We're very politically active in Arizona, and we keep planting seeds. So I appreciate all you do, sir.
Appreciate you. God bless you. All right, one more caller, Grant. We're back in 1 minute joining stations. I'll finish with Grant, then I'll get into Biden and the video that has like 80 million views as of this morning of him last night popping out at the White House. And he's literally 8 inches taller. We've got all the comparisons to Jill Biden. It's not him. I've got to say it. It's not him. The face is not him. What the hell's going on? The coup is live. Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis coming up. We'll skip the network breaks. He'll get his time back. It's all coming up. Stay with us. Please pray for InfoWars. Please pray for the crew. And I'm so thankful to the crew. They're doing such a great job. I'm so thankful to Owen and to Chase and to all the rest of the crew and Rob Duher here with me. right now. We were one family together, black, white, old, young, you name it, in the fight for liberty against the New World Order. Thank you so much for your past support, and I humbly ask for your support now. If you go to InfoWarsStore.com, where the big Save InfoWars sale is going with X2 and X3 and DNA Force Plus, Nitric Boost, and all these other incredible game-changing products. Also, the great line, a dozen products under InfoWars MD, private labeled from a top manufacturer in the country. They said, hey, we'll let you have our whole line, and then we'll ship it for you. We'll do it all. It's all drop ship. All our products are selling out. We're out of money completely. But because of InfoWars MD, they have basically unlimited for us, so that now when you buy InfoWars MD, you're getting great, excellent, amazing products that are across the board for your supplement needs, and they then keep us on the air. InfoWars MD.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Coming up in 55 minutes, the mighty Owen Schroyer with the War Room on the vaunted InfoWars Network, in the heat, in the heart of the battle against the New World Order. Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, great researcher, set to take over in a few minutes, but I wanted to finish up with this caller and hit one other big point. Go ahead, Grant in Pennsylvania, last caller, you're our tail gunner.
Alex, pleasure speaking to you. How are you?
I'm living the dream. Everything I asked to do, everything
amen,
I thought I would
brother.
Do, we're right where I'm supposed to be. Whatever happens, I'm with
amen,
God.
Amen, amen. Amen, amen. No, I just wanted to say I was actually at the Trump rally in Butler that day, and I kid you not, I was 4 feet from Trump, you know, saw everything and all that, and I just wanted to kind of tell you what I saw. First of all, I've been to four other Trump rallies, and the security was just, you know, so relaxed. It was to the point of, like, are you kidding me? As the snipers, for example, we all see that on the roof, right? They only got there a half hour before. The previous one I went to in 2020, they were there all day, you know, on the roof, stationed. And it just, you know, brings me to tears what we saw. But it just shows you that, and I knew right then there it's an inside job, clearly.
Administrative stand down, bare minimum. Now they admit it's confirmed what we saw day one. The Secret Service in the taller building, 50 feet from the shooter for 26 minutes, observed him running around the roof at their command center. With the window open, they look at him. And everybody else is videotaping him. They protected him. They were told to stand down. This is insane. And Trump's got to go public. He's got to come out and annihilate them.
Oh, couldn't agree with you more. But you know what's the most diabolical part about all this is the children that were there. That's all that. You know, they're going to be traumatized. I'll tell you what. There was a little 8-year-old girl in front of me, right? She wanted to go see President Trump, so me and my friend kind of escorted her to the front. I mean, it just shows you what they're going to do, clearly.
Let's go back. What was it like when you started hearing the bullets pop off?
Yeah. Well, honestly, Alex, I thought, what idiot is enough fireworks? And then the minute he got down, well, let me back up. The minute he grabbed his ear and got down behind the podium, that's when I knew, obviously, that's a firearm going off, clearly. But I do think it wasn't a lone wolf attack. I really don't. You know, I think there were maybe one
by the way, we all know what's real.
Yeah.
Every grain of my body, this is so the realest thing I ever saw in my life, mm-hmm. other than watching babies come out of my wives. I mean, this is as real as it gets.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, in that moment, you're on the ground thinking, is this real life? I mean, seriously, I was like, you're kidding me. And like I said, everybody's having a good time. We're expressing our political beliefs.
And then you were right there where a man died feet from you and two others got wounded.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was on, so if you're looking at Trump directly, I was on the left-hand side, but I kid you not, Alex, that fool probably passed right by me. I didn't even know it, you know?
What do you make of that photo of his defiance? Because I know the real face of war. That face he makes with his upper lip up over his top lip, that's war.
Oh, hands down. I mean, he's so alert and woken, and we need him in. Because we need him in, and then hopefully, I would say probably about another, 12 years to turn this country around, give or take.
But and look at 78, his reaction time. I wouldn't have moved that quick. He's a bull.
No, I mean, but Alex, I mean, it's clearly God was there. It's divine intervention. I mean, I'll tell you what. I took a photo, and I'm sure you heard the flag all got tangled up before it came out, like an hour or two. The photo I took, if you go on my ex, you can see it. I'll try to send it to you. But
what is your ex? I'm going to put it up right now. What is your ex?
Yeah. It's Grant_Koval, K-O-V's in Victor, A-L, 444.
Say it again slowly because the crew's listening.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Grant underscore what?
Koval, K-O, V's in Victor, A-L, 444.
All right, Grant underscore Koval, 444.
Mm-hmm. And you can see, I mean, it looks like the Holy Cross. That, I mean, I just knew. You know, it's funny, I was going through my photos after, and I just thought God was there, clearly. Simple as that.
Well, let's scroll down. What photo are you talking about? We're on your other, your poster.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Your poster protected.
Yeah, it's the photo of the flag.
It's, like, well, one of the, it's okay. Send us the link again send it to Rob Dew, R-O-B-D at Infowars.com. I'm going to let you go. Oh. Thank you so much, brother. Because I don't want to cut it to Jay Dyer, but I said I would do this, so I'm going to do this now and then go to Jay Dyer. We're going to skip the breaks, the network breaks, local breaks we've got to have for local stations. But I want to talk about this. Okay, I could sit there and play engagement games and just, you know, do Q stuff and say, you know, the Beatles are alive and, you know, or John Lennon or Elvis is alive. I don't do that, okay? And I've seen the weird faces of Biden and where his chin all looks rubbery and it looks like a different person, but, you know, he's old, he's had facelifts, whatever. But last night there was a video we'll play where you can look at the face and the head, and he's 8 inches at least taller than what he used to be. And people have done side-by-sides. I posted on X where she is way shorter than him now. And you look at that Joe Biden, you just look at him, that's not the same dude. He's taller, he's bigger, it's a different suit, it's a different jacket. What is going on? Well, they just replaced him with Kamala without a vote. She didn't get one vote in the primary, so you know it's a replacement, a dictatorship. So where is Joe Biden? Because that's not Joe Biden in the video you're seeing on screen. And you got the long history of the CIA and rubber mask and Saddam and Kim Jong-un. We can put all those on screen. I've got the articles right here. But Biden might have been dead for years. I have no idea what the truth is. I just know that is not Joe Biden in that video. And he disappeared for 6 days. Who the hell knows what is really going on? And that's the thing. These are such incredible liars. I don't know. Go ahead and roll the video with audio of a Biden walking out last night, and it's not Biden. Looks nothing like him. And again, I've got the side-by-sides right here. I said 6 inches. He's more like 8 inches taller. I mean, you know, you've looked at him forever. That's not Joe Biden. Look at the face, bigger cheekbones, everything. Overhead shot right here. They've got the photos of them, and it's not perspective. I spent an hour today looking at this. Look at Jill. She's about 6-7 inches shorter. She's now a foot to 14 inches shorter. So look, she's normally up to his neck. Top of her head is at his neck in the new Joe Biden. She's right beside him. And in this, the top of her head is at his eyes. So the top of her head is at his eyes. Now she's at his neck. And look at the face. Look at the shoulder. Look at the cut of the suit. Look at the pants. Not the same person, folks, and I've watched a bunch of videos of this. They say, there's Jill Biden. She's with his eyes. She's right there. But now, look at her. Hell, she's not even at his shoulders. So, Jay Dyer, give us his take. You know, he's an expert on the globalists and how they operate. But this is really, really fishy. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. They've already replaced him and appointed her with no vote, so it doesn't even matter. But where is Joe Biden? That's an important question. All right. I may do a Saturday emergency show. I don't know. Just look at X, Alex Jones, Infowars.com. I'll definitely be back Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. after that, Saturday Night Live. But Jay Dyer, for the next 45 minutes, takes over right now. Jay Dyer, God bless you. Love to have you.
Thank you, Alex. Glad to be here with the Alex Jones Show for the fourth hour. It's always an honor. And we've seen quite a bit of crazy stuff happened since I last hosted a couple weeks ago. We had the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. I think it's pretty obvious now that that was an inside job. It was an attempt to take him out, as they said they would do. And I want to talk about what the root of this whole system is all about and how, one big way at least, we fix it. So I want to go back in history a little bit to the real Illuminati, not the cults that claim to be the Illuminati or the Crowley groups or whatever, but the real Illuminati, which is the corporate secret banking structure that runs the world, that we have actually textbooks from the elite that tell us where this comes from, how they run their system on debt and fiat-based currency. And then I want to talk about some of the solutions. It's not a total silver bullet, but I think Bitcoin, gold, and silver are solutions to where we are in this system and how far we are down the rabbit hole. In fact, as Elon pointed out this last week, it looks like we can't even really pay back the debt. So it's almost like we're going to have some kind of completely new system that is not operating on the way the system has been running, at least if we're ever going to get out of this. And if our taxes are only paying the interest, and they're not even paying the interest, we can never pay it back. Now, supposedly, if you read a lot of economic analysts, they point out that this was actually realized in the 1980s, that the national debt could not be paid back. And this led to a crash at the time. And that was connected to the savings and loan scams that were going on then. In fact, infamous character of Jeffrey Epstein, I don't know if you've heard of him, he was actually involved in insider trading, and he and his partner got in trouble back in the 1980s. And of course, Epstein didn't get in trouble. They got caught, Epstein got away. And I think, well, many people think that that might have been the point at which he was recruited into other types of operations. But to understand all this, it might seem like we got to learn a lot. We have to be historians. It might be helpful to do that, but really it's not that complicated. It can be complicated, but it's pretty simple. It's a system that was set up that's a giant scam. If you understand criminal operations, if you study organized crime, if you study figures, characters that come out of the mafia world, they're a great insight into how the system that we're under actually works. So, for example, and you've heard me quote it many times, and I'm not going to spend the whole time talking about this book because I've quoted it so many times, it kind of gets old even for me. But if we go back to Carroll Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, he was the mentor to Bill Clinton. He was a professor of military history at Georgetown. He actually describes early on in this magisterial 1,300-page book the real Illuminati. And you might say, well, why are you calling it Illuminati? Well, they call it a secret society. In fact, this was the people who set up via the elites in the circles of Lord Rothschild, Cecil Rhodes, Lord Milner, John Ruskin, and others that include Arnold Toynbee, Philip Littleton, Lord Curtis, William Stead, a bunch of other lords, Lord Balfour. This is where we get, of course, the modern nation state of Israel. That was admittedly and proudly something that the Rothschilds themselves said they helped to engineer the founding of the modern state of Israel. And this was all in the circles of what's called the Rhodes Trust in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. This group was well aware of how to run the world via a certain type of monetary system. This is a monetary system that Quigley goes on to discuss is the central banking model. So it's not that there's anything necessarily wrong with a bank or that it's wrong to have a national bank or a central bank of the nation state, but that's not what this is. This is a private central bank that goes under the cover of being the people's bank, but is actually the banking network of a select inner core group. That's the real power structure. And it's very similar to the corporate power structure and model of the British East India Company, which was basically the same groups of people. The model that we're under today is that model. Many of the founding fathers in America, for example, understood this, and they fought against that type of monetary policy. They understood that he that controls the printing press or the coinage of the money controls the nation. It doesn't matter who the elected officials are, ultimately. I'm not saying it doesn't matter at all, but politicians, they kind of can come and go, But the money printing doesn't come and go. You notice we don't bet on vote on a new way to do money. It's like, well, we already have that. It's just there, and it's what it is, and it works. And for many, many centuries, this was the gold standard. The ancient world, at some point, came up with this idea. Ancient emperors in the Middle East and other places, they figured out that rare coins or rare metals worked, like jewels, as a way to exchange value, to have exchange. And so gold worked very well for a long time, for many, many centuries, as a monetary policy. But, and I'm not saying it's not infinitely superior to what we have, gold is still great. The great powers figured out, as Quigley notes, in the later stages of European history, in the last 400 and 500 years, they figured out that you could actually debase the currency, not just in the old classic model of mixing it with different alloys that were basically worthless to debase the currency, which even the Roman emperors did stuff like that. You could actually debase the currency via what they called gold notes. And gold notes was a way to have a central bank or a central entity make ease and comfort the central reason why you would choose gold notes over actual transference of gold. So if you're going to barter, it's kind of a hassle to bring, you know, giant bags of gold and money around and coins. It's a lot easier to just exchange a note that represents the amount of gold. But if these gold notes were issued by a central bank, and if the central bank was not necessarily even a government or a nation state bank, a sovereign bank, was in fact a private bank, this allowed the inner private group to create more gold notes than there was actual gold. And unless people did a run on the bank or tried to claim their gold from the bank, this really wouldn't be noticed. And so the bank could then issue many, many more notes than they actually had in terms of currency, in terms of actual assets or gold. And then that would give the banking elite tremendous amounts of fiat power. So basically, you could just print up a zillion notes. And then with that zillion notes, go buy any of the assets in the community or the nation state. So this is a very deceptive and tricky scam, because not only is it basically enhancing the purchasing power of an inner clique who has access to the ability to control the issuance of these notes, you can then steal. It's basically a form of theft. It's just stealing from the rest of the society by controlling the flow and issuance of the currency. Now, gold is a lot better as a way to stave off this theft, you could say, when there's an actual reserve that backs up the notes. Unfortunately, many things have happened, not just the 1913 Federal Reserve Act, but also the 1971 removal from the gold standard under the Nixon administration, which I think Roger Stone, I think, says something like Nixon was tricked into that. And what this does is then it gives basically, this is more of a Keynesian economic policy after Milton Keynes, it gives the ability for the centralized power to just infinitely print. And we've seen mainline establishment economists say things like, well, we can always just print money infinitely. But of course, they have to know that you can't do that. Eventually, not just the debt, but the interest on the debt becomes so massive that the whole country becomes bankrupt. And that's the danger, is that we're going into that situation to where, if you notice, and I think in 2020 alone, the printing of the money was so bad that just in 1 year, the first year of COVID, the dollar was devalued 10% in 1 year. That means in 10 years, it would be devalued 100%, meaning that it would cost twice as much to buy whatever you were trying to buy the year before or the 10 years before. And I think we've seen, I forget the exact numbers inflation-wise, but going back to the 90s, it's something pretty outrageous, maybe 70, 80%. I mean, the cost of things since the late 90s is tremendous, maybe even more. And it's only going to get worse because, as even Ron Paul pointed out many, many, many years, decades ago, the problem will never get fixed with the system as it is. And we get a lot of attention and focus on that at certain times, as Ron Paul kind of made that the focus of his whole policy and his whole administration and his whole presidential run. But people never really, they still never got it. They still were like, oh yeah, there's that thing. And then we get distracted by the next big thing and the next drama, the next big event, COVID or whatever. And that distracts us from the real root problem of how we can never, ever get out of this through the system that we have. And although I support Trump, I like Trump a lot. I have some criticisms, but I think overall he's obviously far better than anything else out there. Trump's great because Trump at least calls attention to this issue. He does call attention to the Federal Reserve. And now we've seen Trump move in an even better direction, which makes me more pro-Trump, is the fact that he's come on board with Bitcoin. And he was very anti-Bitcoin for many, many years. And I think now that he's understood that this is essentially digital gold, we're moving in the right direction. And really, that's the only way that's even feasible, in my view, out of this. I'm not saying there can't be other reserves that we move to with gold as well. Do we even know what's in Fort Knox? Or, I mean, is there anything? It might be empty. Who knows, right? I mean, who knows what's in there? It might be a bunch of, Funko Pops and plushies in there, like Garbage Pail Kids or something. And I don't, who knows what's in Fort Knox? We can't see, right? And there's never been an audit of the Federal Reserve. Am I correct? Isn't this what Rand Paul were talking about for so many years? To my knowledge, that never, ever has happened. Will it ever happen? Probably not before the whole thing collapses. I don't know. But I think, as Alex has pointed out not just this week, but for years, the system is getting more and more kind of insane because they maybe are losing a hold on things. They're losing grip. And if Bitcoin turns out to be something that can be a solution or part of a solution, as well as other things like gold and silver, then if people start to figure that out, then maybe that's why we're seeing the system kind of convulse and shake and get triggered and kind of almost seem to be doing anything. They're sort of not thinking. They're just sort of throwing out crazy things, which means that we might have war. We might have really crazy stuff happen. I expect my thesis, and we'll get into some of this in more detail later, we're probably going to see more racial stuff roll out. I think Alex is correct about that. Remember back to Ferguson. Remember that summer? Remember the race riots they rolled out with these AstroTurf groups? This is when we start to see a BLM roll out. I think they're probably going to roll out that kind of stuff again. Maybe we start to see cities burn again. I think, BLM seems to have lost a lot of credibility, but they can just roll out another type of event like this. And the hot topic is always racial issues. That's what always gets people so inflamed. So they're probably going to roll out something like that. We may see another attempt, as Alex has pointed out, Roger Stone has pointed out, on Trump again. That's another threat, another danger, because that could easily be pinned on Iran. That could be pinned on Russia. They could say, Russia and Iran together did this. It's time to go to war. I mean, any of these things are possibilities. But we got to understand the central power structures hold, and it's not just media, it's money. If we understand money, we can fix this. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back breaking down the scam money system.
This is a make it or break it moment, so I need people to connect those synapses in their brain for you to make a decision. If you don't support InfoWars, we will be shut down. And people say, well, they're constantly trying to shut you down. How are you still in the air? God. But God works through people. So we're in a paradox here where the judge says we're open for 3 more months. If we're able to get a buyer under the law, they won't be able to shut us down. I'll just work with somebody else. And that's coming. That's got to be set up. But in the meantime, if people believe the news that we're being shut down everywhere, which they tried to do and failed, by that foregone conclusion, we're shut down. And under the last federal bankruptcy manager who would not reorder product and killed all our advertising, who was positioning us to be shut down and tried to shut us down, we caught him. The judge caught him and fired him. We're almost sold out of all the products. All right? But we have a lot of great products that are still in stock limited supplies. So I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. And we just had a donation button. Maybe we should just do that. You're fighting for freedom in a key election, battling the globalists. We need support. But we want a long-term relationship with you. We want to be symbiotic. We want you to get great products you like, get them delivered to you quickly, and enjoy them and have them empower you and make your life better so you love them and you keep getting them. We want a relationship. So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric or whether it's natural sleep aid or whether it's saw palmetto or other compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breasts. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD. We've got Ashwagandha Gummy. Relaxes you, makes you feel really relaxed with no downer feeling. Amazing. An incredible product. Good Night Sleep. We have a lot of great sleep aids. This one's excellent. They're all different formulas. People love it. Good Night Sleep. InfoWars MD. Ashwagandha with black pepper, which relaxes you and makes you lose weight. These are all concentrates. Joint Relief Max works really well. Great pain relief. Huge bottle of it. You know, jam-packed. It's there. Joint Relief Max. InfoWars MD. Prostate support. Already mentioned that. This is just a top formula. Super high quality. Organic. Nerve Renew. Amazing. To get your nerves, not to kill pain, but to get your nerves healthy. Nitric Boost. Vitamin Refusion about to sell out. About to sell out. Real Red Pill Plus. And something I never talk about and should talk about more, Probiotic Fiber. A super high-end product at a low price at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you all for your support.
Let me take some brain force and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back. Guest host Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're talking about the real Illuminati, not the cartoonish conspiratorial perspective without basis in history, but the actual banking elite structure, the Anglo-American Israeli establishment, according to Dr. Carol Quigley, and what they have planned, not just for the world, but for the world's economic system, and how we have to understand the Federal Reserve banks that are locked into the Bank for International Settlement model. Dr. Carol Quigley describes this on pages 324 and 325 of Tragedy and Hope. You can see it right here. The Bank for International Settlements model is there, and that is the central bank for central banks. And that is the network of banking networks that works for this fiat-based system. And it allows the banking inner cadre, as well as the corporate elites, not just banking elites, also the corporate structure too. It allows them essentially to, by controlling the money printing, to inflate and deflate as they wish, to then take the money that they have printed. And of course, there's a kind of a complicated process of buying government bonds and then getting the nation state into more and more debt and so forth. And then they buy up real assets or gold or whatever. And that's why the banking elite love gold. And then I think now we're starting to see them understand and figure out that, oh, there's actually a non inflatable thing that's been invented also now that's electronic, it's digital. It's a public ledger known as Bitcoin that can't be inflated or hacked or messed with. And so maybe it's time to get in on that too. And that's why I think BlackRock has now capitulated and started to buy. Maybe they think they can buy enough to influence the price. But regardless, I think they've capitulated. We saw some years back, even Rothschild Investing had admitted the potentiality of Bitcoin. All of the major entities now have come on board to the credit, the banking, the investing, the pension. All of these things are beginning to see the logic of this because they formerly didn't understand it. And I want to thank Max Keiser because I listened to Max on Alex many, many years ago, 2011, 12, when he first got into Bitcoin. And I was initially skeptical. But then I started to look into it. I listened to dozens of episodes of Max Keiser's show that he had on RT, and I got a lot of economic education through that. And I finally understood about 2016, 17, what this was. So there's a learning curve. It takes a long time. But we have to understand what that is contrasted to the system that exists now and what they want to bring about. They want a centralized central bank digital currency, which is very unpopular. Every time they try to talk about it and try to roll it out, it's a failure, which is good news. But they keep pushing this in contrast to the product of the Austrian economics school, which is Bitcoin comes out of Austrian economics. It comes out of that philosophy, which is a set against the Keynesian, soft Fabian socialist policies or the Marxist central bank policies or the all of those policies, which, again, remember, Karl Marx said the first thing that you have to do, one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, is to set up a central bank, right, that can control the issuance of currency. And ultimately, that ends up being based on debt. And when Marxism as a classical system failed, Reform Marxism took over. That's really the world system that we're under now. It's called Fabianism. Keynes was a Fabian socialist economist. And so that's a kind of a soft socialism with elements of monopoly capitalism aligned with it. That's the system that we're under. You can read books like Jan Ratzio's book about the Milner-Fabian conspiracy. You can read the Fabian Freeway. You can read Carol Quigley's books. You could also read classic texts like G. Everett Griffin's A Creature from Jekyll Island, which gets into the history of the establishment of the Federal Reserve System. And you'll understand that it's not really a conspiracy theory. It's criminal syndicates figuring out how to organize and control the money supply. And by doing so, you can control the entire nation. So that's the real octopus system that we've been under for many, many years. And it's a very elaborate system. I remember having a dinner meeting a year ago with a person who was a lawyer who was involved in the what's called the Brazilian car wash scandal. And he was down there and he consulted with the government there and how they had prosecuted this giant criminal racket, which was holding the entire nation hostage. Now, this is a very famous thing. It's well known. They made Netflix shows about it, documentaries about it, Brazilian car wash scandal. And throughout the 80s and 90s, the whole country was held captive to this criminal system that was like a decentralized cell network of criminals that were controlling everything from construction to banking to politics. And it was structured in a very similar Ponzi scheme way to Gladio, the way Gladio operated in Italy. And I talked to this lawyer who was involved in it, and he said, yes, he thought that was very perceptive, that he knew of the structure of Gladio and how Gladio worked. And he said that's exactly how this was structured, in a very similar way. Well, the banking system that we're under is structured in that way too. So we needn't think that we always have this bias. We think, oh, ha ha, that's some other country down there where everybody's poor. No. It's the same system here. We're just not as far down the road as those poorer Latin and South American countries are, who have the same debt-based centralized banking models. And what these entities do, what these banking entities, when they're set up, these schemes, these systems, they rob not just the immediate population from the purchasing power that they have through their currency, it robs future generations. I think that's the key thing that people miss, is that when you deflate the currency, you're actually stealing from the future generations. The same thing occurs when, for example, a nation or a power bloc loses a war. We saw this after World War I and World War II. The banking elite come in and they restructure how that losing nation will pay back the debt. And it basically puts the nation into debt for decades into the future, maybe even a century. So you're essentially never out of debt. And I think a lot of people have a hard time accepting that this is how the world is actually run. Now, there's not every nation in the world is not run this way, but most of the world is transitioning into this. But you see that it's essentially a black hole of debt that eventually eats everything and the whole system eventually collapses. You get the, you know, what is it, the Zimbabwean dollar, which they started printing, you know, $1 billion notes where $1 billion note buys you, I don't know, a loaf of bread or something. That's because of this model. Eventually, it just eventually the currency just deflates into being worth nothing. And again, we should understand that the dollar is that system now, and it has been on that track for a long time. So when people like Hillary say that Bitcoin is a threat to the dollar is its own worst enemy because the dollar left any kind of hard standard. That's the problem. It's not other things competing against it. It's that the whole model was always a manipulatable model. At least when it was on the gold standard, it was a lot harder to manipulate. Theoretically, yes, gold can be manipulated through third parties. It can be manipulated through mining and finding more gold and then dumping that on the market, which inflates deflates. I mean, it inflates the price because the price goes down because there's more gold out there. So you can dump gold. So there's always more gold that can be mined, but it's not that way with a uniquely super fixed asset like Bitcoin. So I think, again, the good news here is that Trump will be speaking tomorrow at the Bitcoin Nashville conference. I'm here for that conference. I'll be there. Maybe I'll get to talk to him or Max Kaiser or something. I don't know. I'll try to record something for InfoWars if I can get a hold of Max or somebody. But that's the point here is that every other currency in the history of the world was always, even though gold is great and it's something that can be part of a basket of reserves, it can still be mined and still you can still have more of it. But if there's an asset that could never have, you can never have more of, that's the ultimate fixed hard money. That's what we mean by hard money, meaning that it can't be inflated. And in history, in human history, every asset has been inflatable. Now, the system is pushing, for example, things like central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. And that's going to be probably, my guess would be, I don't know, but there might be, say, an economic collapse in the next year or 5 years, something like that. Some bad economic scenario when these banks are collapsing as they are, and we're not being told what's actually going on. They're covering up a lot of that economic, I think, information. Then they're going to say, well, look, you know, the capitalism and the existing system destroyed us. Look how bad it is. So what we're going to do is we're going to roll out this new thing, a central bank digital currency, and we're going to offer this through whatever means. I don't know how they'll do it. And you'll get maybe a UBI. They'll offer some kind of thing like that. Again, all these big tech Silicon Valley people have been pushing and flirting with this idea. Remember who was it? Yang, the Yang gang, and Yang was pushing CBDC, UBI. And of course, it always fails because people think, well, they're just not into that yet. We even had the guy from the Bank for International Settlements, the guy with the triple chin that came on and said that they want to roll out this CBDC wallet. And he literally says in the clip where every transaction that you make will be tracked and traced. And if you do anything that we don't like, we'll turn it off. I mean, it's kind of odd that that was his selling point. It's odd that he would be that honest because I would think if you're going to try to sell that, you might want to, I don't know, at least lie about it and say it's something else. But now he just flat out says, no, we're going to turn off your wallet when you say something that we don't like. And that's the system that they want. That's why Noah Yuval Harari says that Bitcoin is a system based on distrust. And you want a system based on trust. So we need some other type of digital currency. Well, they're saying that because they don't control that. It's decentralized. And the World Economic Forum has put out lists in the past. A few years ago, they put out a list of the cryptocurrencies that they want as potentials for the future CBDC. Or they'll try to come out with something of their own. But the good news is that it keeps failing and nobody wants that. But the problem isn't digital currency itself. The problem isn't having this objective math-based system. That's what we want. We just don't want a centralized system like they're pushing. That's the key here. This is why El Salvador, for example, has been very successful through Bukele and the policies that Max Kaiser has been promoting and pushing there, for as one example. So El Salvador is kind of leading the way for nation states to begin to adopt this. I mean, ultimately, we don't want governments trying to control this, but they're going to eventually capitulate because they're going to realize that the real black hole, so to speak, is that Bitcoin will eat up all of the assets. People will start to realize that even owning land is not as good as Bitcoin. I'm not saying you can't own land. I'm just saying from the vantage point of successful assets, what will give you the best returns and what will have future value. For example, if I own land in a place that's a blue city and the blue city decides they don't like my politics and what I say, my land doesn't do me much good. But if I have my wallet and my seed phrase and all that information in my head, I can go anywhere and it's still good. It's still usable. You see the genius of this. And people just still haven't figured this out because I still, when I talk about this, I get hundreds of comments of people telling me that this is a scam. This is created by the CIA and with no actual proof of that. They're just saying what they've heard media idiots say. The media idiots don't know anything about economics. If they did, they would be on board with this stuff, or they would have big gold assets and reserves, which they don't have. Those are people that believe and trust the system who tell you, who've lied for the last 30 years in the media nonstop every day, but you're going to listen to them when they say that Bitcoin is a Ponzi scheme. And all the people who thought it was a Ponzi scheme 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago have now converted to liking it. Even the banking scammers, even the JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs people are now, by the way, they were buying it when they were telling people not to buy it. So again, why would you believe anything that these people say about these revolutionary disruptive technologies? So what they want is a Federal Reserve fiat model that's electronic. And if you just understand the basics, you understand that, well, Bitcoin is the opposite of that. It's not that. It's decentralized. It's a fixed supply. It's not inflatable. They want an inflatable, they'll just punch in more digits and create out of thin air, infinite whatever crypto, infinite CBDC coin, Fed coin, whatever. So the Federal Reserve model is very similar to the FTX. Remember when FTX collapsed? People thought, oh, that's Bitcoin collapse. That has nothing to do with Bitcoin. That's a totally different thing. That was a big like DNC kind of money laundering scheme is what it allegedly looks like, right? Remember how the banking elites in the 2008 collapse, how they were pushing the notion that the banks deserve to be bailed out? And this eventually robbed everybody? Well, this was actually stamped into the original, if I recall, the Genesis block, the first Bitcoin block. There's actually a message in there about how Bitcoin was created out of the Austrian economic philosophy to counteract the theft that occurred through the housing crisis and the scammery of the banking bailouts, and that why not have a solution via a public digital decentralized chain that you can buy into, so to speak, and have your staked property on that chain, so to speak, in cyberspace where there's a store of value that doesn't lose its value over time. If you think about energy, if you think about it from the vantage point of engineering, I'm not an engineer, but people like Michael Saylor who are engineers, they explain this very well. They explain that in the conservation of energy is one of the challenges in physics. And it's a challenge when you apply that to economics and to trade and to barter and to money, because money ends up always getting devalued over time. This is the key point that I want to make. And if you're looking for a really good introduction book on this, one of my friends, her name is Julia. She's been on with Alex before, Julia Toriansky. She wrote a book with some other people like Robert Breedlove on this issue. Thank God for Bitcoin. And the premise of her book and their book is a little different because it's not just a boring kind of economic text. It's actually arguing that in biblical theology, there are a lot of money principles that would eliminate what we're talking about. So the Bible, for example, talks about gold quite a bit, and it talks about in Proverbs 11, the unfair imbalanced scales are an abomination to the Lord. The book of Micah talks about the devaluation and diluting of gold as something that is a problem. Your gold is dross, or your silver is dross and diluted. Other texts, I think in Isaiah, speak in a similar vein. And this shows that the nation state or the country, and in this case, Israel, right, they were losing power and influence in their monetary system through corruption. And we're in the same situation where the dollar is losing purchasing power. We're losing that because of this central bank fiat model corruption. And we're in the digital age. So I think we need something that is appropriate to the digital age. It doesn't look like this is going to be going away anytime soon. I don't think that they created all this infrastructure, especially since they want to have CBDC and Skynet. They're not going to blast us back to Little House on the Prairie. They didn't do all this to put us back in, you know, Michael Landon times. We're not going to go to Little House on the Prairie. We're not going to go back to conquistadors, you know, with a chest of doubloons. You can have your chest of doubloons. I do think it's wise to do that, to have gold and silver and other assets. So I'm not anti-asset. I'm just saying that it also makes the most sense to have the best performing asset in the last 10 years, which is Bitcoin, above all the others. Why would you not? And this book argues not just from an economic standpoint, but from an ethics and a religious standpoint that we should have honest, ethical money. And certainly gold is far closer to that than anything that we have today with CBDCs or whatever. But the ability to store value over time so that it doesn't lose that energy and that storage, so to speak, in a symbolic way, is akin to an invention like the internet itself or the printing press. And I don't think people have figured out yet that that's what Bitcoin is. It is the solution to human monetary problems. And once that clicks, once you understand that, then you understand, oh, this is actually like the printing press. This is like the discovery of gold coinage. I mean, it's that level. But most people have not figured that out yet. So it's true that Bitcoin is expensive, but you're still very early because it's only a matter of time. And now the big money players have figured that out. So if you were ahead of these people, you were way ahead. And that's why Max Keiser pushes it so much. And it's not like money is the only solution to all mankind's problems. There's mankind's fallen, and so he's going to have problems beyond just the monetary sphere always. But it does alleviate and fix a lot of problems to have something like this. Because money was always, for example, to be money, you needed something that was divisible. You needed something portable. You needed something durable. You needed something that was recognizable. And the most important would be scarcity. All of those things are necessary for something to count as money. And humans have used all kinds of things, beads, shells, gold, coins, all of those things have been used. But of course, the problem is that many of those things can be inflated. For example, if Indians use glass beads as currency, if a European shows up and he can create glass beads, well, then he can buy everything up with his infinite glass beads, you see. So scarcity is the key. That's the most important thing. That's why the currencies in the history of mankind have always failed, even though gold is the best. The reason that gold fails is nothing in problem. It's no problem with gold itself. It will always be precious. It will always be valuable and rare, in my view. But the problem is that the central bank can mix that gold and dilute it. It can create, it can debase that currency with mixed alloys or whatever. It can use gold notes, as we saw a minute ago with Quigley, to deflate that currency. And then have that immense power to then buy everything up because they control the printing press, right? And then they can thus control the nation state or the empire. And many empires, in fact, in history have fallen from these very economic issues that we're talking about. Not just wars. In fact, wars oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes come about because the state, the emperor, the king is in debt. And he's debased his currency. And so he's going to have to go to war to try to save the economy. So if the monetary system was fixed, and it is possible to fix it, there's a lot of forces who don't want to fix it, but that doesn't mean it's not possible. It is possible. But before you, if you fix the monetary policy, it is conceivable that there might be a lot less war. Again, it's not saying that there's be some utopia. I'm not saying that. But to fix it would mean that there would be nation states would not have as much impetus to go to war to solve economic problems. And that's where we are. We might be in this situation because of an economic collapse. They might go to war because the dollar is collapsing. And that's the easiest way to try to fix the economic problems. All governments in history end up debasing their currency, whether through the theft known as diluting the currency with mixed alloys or through gold notes or through money printing and inflation. But this last point I want to talk about, which is very key, which is what's called network effects. When certain rulers started using gold, they then influenced other nations to start to use gold and coinage, right, in the ancient world. When coinage caught on, then all the nations were using gold. So gold became a network that people were using as their currency. This is called a network effect. And the more people that were using gold, the better it was for everyone and for that whole gold network, so to speak. We're in an age now when everything is dominated by information networks via the internet. So doesn't it make sense that the most ease and the biggest network would be utilizing a form of money? That's what Bitcoin is. And it's already there. It's already been here for many, many years. And it makes the most sense that that's the future. I will be at the Bitcoin conference today and tomorrow. Hopefully I'll see you there. And I'm looking forward to Trump's speech, as well as Russell Brand, Max Kaiser, Snowden, many others will be there. If you want to support me, you can go to jasonalsos.com and get my books in the shop, signed copies. Also go to the InfoWars store and purchase the products to keep Alex on the air. This is the tip of the spear.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Assassins need payrolls, schedules, times, orders. This was a military-style ambush from start to finish. This was a coup d'etat.
Seen his face when it hit, just his ear blew off.
Its most direct and tragic result was the reversal of President Kennedy's commitment to withdraw from Vietnam. A war is the biggest business in America, worth $80 billion a year.
The deep state is coming after me even harder, since I pledged to swiftly end the war in Ukraine. So I will have that settlement done within 24 hours.
This has been another public service announcement, paid for by the Dilly Meme Team.
Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. The new Bulletproof t-shirt's out. We need the support. It's an amazing shirt. Support InfoWars. We support Trump. Get the new Bulletproof President Trump shirt at InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be back.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.